Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Michael Crichton left behind a very impressive body of work when he died in 2008, aged only 66. He wrote Jurassic Park and worked with Spielberg on the movie adaptation. He created the TV show ER, wrote the screenplays for Westworld and Twister, and published close to 30 novels, including The Andromeda Strain. Well, when she was going through his papers, Michael Crichton's widow, Sherry Alexander, found an unfinished novel about a volcanic eruption in Hawaii, and then she set about finding the right person to finish it. Author James Patterson, who has sold millions of copies of his own books, including Along Came a Spider, took on the unfinished project, and now Eruption by Michael Crichton and James Patterson has just been published by Century. And Sherry Alexander and James Patterson join me now. Good morning to you both.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you both for joining me. What a great book. Listen, Sherry, can you tell me first about the manuscript for Eruption? How much of it had Michael completed? And how did you decide on James to complete it?
Well, there was a partial manuscript, and James and I have, we make it a pact right now not to say what Michael completed and what he completed. So it's a dance between these two amazing authors on the page. But when I found the manuscript, it just came to a partial manuscript. It just came to an abrupt end. And so I really went on this pilgrimage looking for all of the pieces of this puzzle, and it was voluminous, the amount of research that Michael had put into the book. And clearly it was a passion project for his, because he loved Hawaii and volcanoes. He was just fascinated with the science. I just thought, how amazing would that be just to go to the top, you know, somebody who can meet Michael on the page. And that was James Patterson. And so we reached out to James. And fortunately, James, I'm going to let you take it from here, but fortunately, he happened to be drawn to Michael's work as well.
Yeah, and you know, and Sherry and I, we challenge readers to figure out where Michael's writing stopped and where mine began. There's already one of the BBC people that definitely chapter 7, and that is totally incorrect. So, but we challenge everybody. It's a fun thing to do, to try to figure it out. And we're both very proud that it is kind of seamless, or at least we think it is. I was and continue to be a big fan of Michael's work. I had read all of the novels, some of the screenplays, his nonfiction travels. So when Sherry sent over what Michael had written, I said, you know, would you like to? And I said, I don't know, let me read it. And I read it and I said, I'm in, because it was pure Michael Crichton, which I love. He had set up these double steam engines bulleting ahead. One, this volcano, which was threatening to be the largest volcano in modern history. But there was something worse on the island, because toxic waste had been buried there by the U.S. military. And if the lava hit that, it would potentially destroy the world. So it was a typical kind of, oh, my God, story that I wanted. One of my jokes to Sherry was, I want to see how the damn thing ends. So, you know.
And of course, there's a very charismatic lead character as well, isn't there, called John McGregor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And did you have to develop him, James, or had he been a bit developed by Michael?
I think Michael had done a terrific job with that. Look, everybody has their own, you know, what they think a novel should be. And people get very arrogant and adamant about it. These are entertainments. They are adventure stories. And you know, neither Michael or I were interested in writing Ulysses. I liked the way Mac was, and I didn't really want to mess with him.
And Sherry, Michael, of course, knew Hawaii very well, didn't he, where the book is placed? You got married there, I think.
We did. We got married on the south shore of Hawaii, on the island of Kauai. But Michael kept going. He started going to Hawaii in the early 70s. And that, you know, he had moved to LA from the East Coast. And it was his, like, getaway. I remember very clearly, we would have this beautiful place in Hawaii right on the bay. And he would be in the back in a garage just working away, creating and creating more. Very, very similar, I'm sure, to Jim, how you probably locked yourself in and you and you ride away. But Michael loved Hawaii, and we devoured the island of Kauai, always on hikes and just enjoying life.
Yeah. So actually, a footnote, my wife Sue and I, we had our honeymoon in Hawaii as well.
Wow. This collaboration clearly was meant to be, James.
I know, it was.
Or Jim, as Sherry calls you. Listen, you've worked with some very well-known collaborators, of course, like Bill Clinton and Dolly Parton. Did that help when you took on this project? I mean, it's a collaborative effort, just of a different kind, really.
Well, my collaborator here was pretty much Sherry. And then what Michael had done, and also the research that Michael had done, an awful lot about volcanoes in Hawaii, which was very helpful and overwhelming in the beginning when I first got the research. I think it was helpful to have done a couple of collaborations because I felt pretty confident that I could do it. It's funny because people always go, oh, well, weren't there a lot of arguments? No, there was never any arguments with Clinton, Dolly, or Sherry. They're really none, zero. It just never, never came up.
Just great where you say all those names in one sentence. Tell me, Sherry, about, I suppose, the Michael Crichton you knew. He was already established as this great writer when you met and you got married. How long did you have together having this great life before he got diagnosed so young with cancer?
Well, we had been together in total. It really was a short, if you look at the scheme of things, it was a short time. It was a total of 8 years. So we had dated for 5 and then we were married for 2 before he was diagnosed. But it felt like we lived an entire lifetime together. It was just one of those beautiful soul connections that someone may be lucky enough to find in their life. Mm-hmm. Michael and I, we so truly enjoyed our times together, and we live life big, and yet what that really means is we were really both secluded people. I mean, Michael didn't like going out very much, nor did I. So the things that we did do were really, just being in nature and being together and really just loving each other. It was just the most beautiful, loving relationship. So when he was diagnosed, it was devastating, but he was Michael Crichton. And so I just assumed that he was going to beat it. We both did. I really, truly did. And then we got pregnant. And so I really, truly felt that we, of course, were going to beat it. And sadly, it didn't end that way.
Yeah. And Sherry, I'm so sorry. I mean, into every life, you were 6 months pregnant with your beautiful son, John Michael, when Michael died. I mean, how do you cope with something like that?
It was really difficult, but the biggest thing, I made a decision that I couldn't possibly digest that he was actually gone. So I did everything I could to keep him alive for me. And that's really how this all began, was where I felt closest to Michael was in my heart, obviously, but in his work. Here I was faced with this massive struggle of how am I going to teach his son that he was so looking forward to bringing into his family? How am I going to teach him about his dad? So there was a whole world in which I had to unlock to learn myself how Michael was as a young boy, as a writer. And it became a very healing, cathartic process because I felt so close to him through that entire journey. But when I found this manuscript, which he had always spoken about this volcano story, and he would teach me about the different types of lava, the different types of volcanoes. Like Jim and I, we talked early on where I said, yes, Michael, I knew he was always on this research project for this volcano story because we ended up in Pompeii on our honeymoon. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is odd, but that's okay. I mean, anything with
Michael. Michael's a romantic.
Very romantic.
You know, another bond between Sherry and I is in my 30s, I lost the first love of my life. To brain cancer. So that was another thing that we had in common or shared or a bond that we had.
I'm so sorry to hear that as well, James. Yeah, I mean, do you think those kind of shocking experiences that are so devastating do bond people?
I do. I do
yeah.
on people, even on a subconscious level. You know, you can feel the amazing thing that I have experienced with this collaboration is I'm working with a man with such incredible integrity and talent in Jim. It has just been really a wonderful experience because he really liked what Michael had put down on the page. So he was completely honorable of keeping Michael's work there, and he built upon it and he did it so beautifully.
And I get a lot of people coming to me that want to work with me. And mostly I say, I'm sorry, but I can't do it. There's a saying that I've been, the last couple of years I've been living by to some extent, and it relates to my choosing to want to do this book. And I think it's more relevant maybe to people your age than it is to people my age. But the language is, my time here is short. What can I do most beautifully? And I think it's a great guide for life and motivator. Mm-hmm. And it gets us to really narrow into. And this is something I wanted to do because I loved his work. I loved what he had written. And I thought that I could, you know, that I could do a good job. I wasn't 100%, but I felt that I could.
That's a lovely way of looking at life. If you can do something, you know, beautifully, to do it. And does that define a lot of what you do, Jim?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. I think it always has to some extent, but even more now as I get older, with the exception of golf, which I should stop doing because I don't do it beautifully. But for some reason, that's the only ugly thing in my life that I continue to do. But yeah, no. I mean, I did marry, and it's been a beautiful. And once again, it just, yes, it's a beautiful relationship that I have with Sue, and Sherry's met Sue, and she can attest to that.
You certainly can.
That's so nice. Do you think managing his archive, Sherry, is that part of, you know, creating some way for your beautiful son, John Michael, to get to know his dad?
That was my intention, is so that John Michael, and Michael has his daughter Taylor from a previous marriage, but it's something for them to be able to really connect to their father, to really know firsthand what Michael was thinking, how he was thinking, how did he work, but also it's just an amazing, you know, window into his process. Michael's process was very unique. He just charted everything. He was very organized and very deliberate in what he was working on. And he was working on a lot of projects at the same time, very much like Jim works. Am I right, Jim?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, I'm a sick puppy.
Well, are you an expert though on volcanic activity now, Jim Patterson?
When I was in school, I was always a good student because I wanted to get out of my hometown, and it was the best way out. But unfortunately, I would know everything for 8 days after the final test, and then I would forget it all. So at one point, I knew a lot about volcanoes, and I still know some things, you know, but I did enjoy it. And we measured my IQ, and just working with Michael's notes, my IQ went up 3 points. So it's excellent.
Well, just before I let you go, I'm conscious this morning in Ireland there may be people listening who will, you know, too have suffered great loss. And obviously you lost Michael when you were pregnant, 6 months pregnant. And you mentioned earlier, Jim, that you lost the first love of your life, you know, to brain cancer.
Brain, yes.
Just put to both of you at the end. First of all, to you, Jim, when you go through something like that, how do you deal with that? And secondly, does it change you forever? And thirdly, what's the best way of carrying on with your life and living happily ever after?
Everybody's going to deal with it differently. I'm reasonably good at compartmentalizing, and that was helpful for me. For a year, it was a disaster, and I'm not a big cry. In fact, for years, I couldn't cry. Like my grandfather's funeral, I could not cry, and I wanted to. After Jane died, I literally cried every day for a year, every day. And I don't know what that meant, but that was what I did. It gets easier, time helped. But what I did was I then threw myself into work, became much more serious about writing novels. I distracted myself. And eventually, when I was ready, I said to myself, the best thing that had ever been in my life was Jane. And I said, you know, 7 or so years later, why am I not trying to, not duplicate it, but trying to find someone else that I could have a great experience with. And with my wife, and my joke about Sue, but it's kind of true, was if Sue ever leaves me, I'm going with her. So, you know, but I've been very lucky. And it helped also to have had a relationship. And I was with Jane for 7 years, for that to have been so special.
Oh, that's so lovely. And for you, Sherry?
Losing, I have had a lot of loss in my life. I lost Michael first, which is devastating because we were essentially in our honeymoon stage and we were pregnant with our child. And so I tried to keep Michael, and I cried every day, but I couldn't cry too much. I couldn't let myself go into grief because I worried about the baby. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really tender dance and delicate dance. So what I did was just try to keep Michael alive in any way that I possibly could. But when I lost Michael, I leaned on my brother, but my brother had already been diagnosed with ALS. So I've had to deal with loss a lot. And what gives me comfort that these great men have died, my father died shortly after my brother from a broken heart, really. What keeps me grounded is feeling that they are still with me in spirit. But I just look ahead and I have a lot of faith in God. And I just, it's my faith that really carries me through. There, like Jim, there has to be another great love for me. And if it's meant to be, it will be.
Well, Sherry Alexander and James Patterson, thank you both so much for speaking to me this morning. I've loved speaking to you both. Eruption by Michael Crichton and you, James Patterson, is published now by Century. And it's a great read. Thank you both very much.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you so much.